For those new to the Chabura, and for those that have been learning for years, this is kind of a strange phenomenon for me. I think it's the first time in all the years that we're learning that it's a completely virtual shiur, which is kind of very strange because I'm used to the opportunity to discuss a topic and have the back and forth. Over the years, occasionally we've done it by way of teleconference on the week of winter break, but even then, at least we have the opportunity to talk it out and be, you know, have some interaction. This is our first time where the shiur is completely me sitting by myself in a room and recording without the benefit of having any interaction with anybody else. So if the shiur is a little bit shorter, the content a little bit different, and certainly the style different, it's a byproduct of the change of location. And at least from my perspective, it'll make me appreciate so much more the following week when we're back learning together in person. I want to share with you tonight an interesting idea from the Kli Yakar. Kli Yakar is a fascinating Meforish and Chumash, and I want to share with you his insightful thoughts into one of the parshios within our parsha. The parsha starts off by saying, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe v'al Aaron le'mor. Moshe and Aaron, they're starting their mission. They're told that they have to go to Paro. Ki daber lechem Paro le'mor tnu lechem mofet. Paro is going to say, prove it to me. You're saying that you are emissaries of God. I want to see a sign. And Rashi says, Och lohudia sheyesh tzorech b'misha sholeach etchem. Prove to me that the being, the entity that you represent that wants me to let the Jewish people go, prove to me that there is something to it. So when Paro asks for that, Amartal Aaron, say to Aaron, Kachet matcha, take your staff, Ashleich lefnei Paro, Yehila litanin. And you're going to throw it before Paro, and it's going to be litanin. Rashi points out, what's litanin? So tanin is a snake. Vayavo Moshe v'Aaron al Paro. Moshe and Aaron come to Paro v'yasu kein. They do exactly that. Kasher tziva Hashem, exactly as God had commanded. V'yashleich Aaron et Mateu l'fnei Paro v'lfnei avadav v'hi l'tanin. And Aaron throws his staff before Paro and before his servants, and it becomes a tanin. V'ikra gam Paro l'chachamim v'l'machashvim. Paro does this, you know, calls his advisors and his magicians, and they do the same thing. Rashi says, "What's belateim? It's one. What's a word? Eino dimyon b'mikra. There's no other example of it in the Torah. But belachashehon, there's some sort of like incantation that they're doing, and somehow by doing that, what does it do? It is the magic that they do to make theirs turn into snakes as well." It is an interesting machlokas as to whether or not this was real magic or whether it was sleight of hand. They do the same thing, and what happens? Their staffs turn into taninim. And this is where it's interesting to read the pasuk carefully to notice, what does it say? The staff of Aaron swallows up their staffs. So Rashi points out, based on the Medrash, that it's not actually the snake swallowing the snake, but rather it is the stick swallowing the stick. And Paro's heart is hardened, and he doesn't listen to him, just like Hashem had predicted. The question is, why is it that this is chosen to be the first sign, right? This is not something that's terribly impressive. I think the next question would be, why is it also that the stick plays such a prominent role in that? But I think that on top of that, one of the important points to also note is that when we see the beginning of the story, whose stick is this? Is it Vamartel Aaron? Say to Aaron, Kach et matcha, take your stick, Vashleich lefnei Paro, not Moshe Rabbeinu's stick. So the question then becomes, is this really the same stick? Is it one stick? Moshe Rabbeinu has his stick, and Aaron has his stick. They're two separate ones, or are they the same thing, where Aaron has one, and they're used interchangeably? Now, it's interesting, if you go back to the story, back in Shmos, when Moshe Rabbeinu is on the mountain with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so what happens there? we see there that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, we want you to take the stick, and what are you going to do with it? Throw the stick. So let's take a look at those psukim. We're going to go flip back to Perek Gimel. And in Perek Gimel, so what do we have? The Torah tells us the following. So Hashem says to Moshe, you're going to be the leader. Moshe says, I'm not interested. Then he says, well, what if there's a Perek Dalet, sorry. He says, what, you know, what if I need to show them a sign? Right? The people won't listen to me. So Ki Omru Lo Nirei Lech Hashem, they'll say God didn't appear to you. Now, who is he talking there? That's talking about if the Jewish people won't believe you. So Vayomer Lav Hashem Azav Yadecha, Vayomer Mateh. He says it's a Mateh. Vayomer Shlichehu Arza, throw it on the ground. Vayishlichehu Arza, he throws it on the ground. Vayila Nachash, it becomes a Nachash. Why is it that one is a Nachash and the other is a Tanin? Are Nachash and Tanin the same thing? Now, according to Rashi, they are one and the same. A Nachash, Litanin is a Nachash. So take a look at the Kliyakar. The Kliyakar is fascinating. If you have a Chumash in front of you, it's worth it to take a look inside. So the Kliyakar, first off, suggests the following. Kan nemar shikach mataron v'hilu tanin ulmala parsha shmos tziva shikach moshe mateh shalo v'hilu nachash. Same thing we just said. One says that a tanin is actually not a snake. It's a tanin gadol. It's a big fish. Way back in Bereshis, when God created, fascinating point, that the only thing that it tells us that God created two things. God created man, and God created these taninim. What are they? Rav Moshe Lichtenstein says, in his commentary on the Haftorah, he says taninim are crocodiles. The Kliyakar, though, suggests also the other possibility that it's a nachash. So he says like this, I'm willing to give you an explanation of why the difference in the language. Tanin is like a super snake. It's an even more scary snake. It's more than a regular snake. They did everything with their mouth. Similar to the snake whose koach is his mouth. And it appears as though most of the nisim happened through the matev Moshe Aaron. So it's all their stuff is done with the snake, the staff, but it turns into a snake to say, just as the snake does everything, no noise coming from its mouth. Same with Moshe and Aaron. It's not really them, but rather it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki HaTzadik goes there, Omer v'yakum lo, v'alkeinasu matot shem l'nachashim. Fine. That's what he says. So, v'teida v'tavim ki Moshe ya roe emani li yisrael v'mata uzo kashir nagaro et edro. V'yasar Moshe l'gam al paro. So Moshe Rabbeinu was the roe of the Jewish people and with his matev strength, just like a shepherd would take care of his flock. He was a sar moshel gamal paro. Well, Aaron loya moshel kimal paro v'amol levad. The thing is that Moshe Rabbeinu had had a sense of power over both the Jews and the Mitzrim, but Aaron only had control over Paro. Al kein tiv Hashem shelifnei Yisrael yeshlich Moshe mate shelo v'ilan achash al ederach lefaro lochalamo hanoshech ikvei sus v'pol achpor. Rem is a sus and sign. Roch fove inos Moshe mipanav. Moshe's stick was reminiscent of what's going to happen to the Egyptians, but it was meant for the Jewish people. So it was a nachash. Ki chashav shalom ya mateh shalom mashchitu mechabel kenachash vein zem imidat tuvo. Okay, nemar lo echoz bezanav o vehil mateh chapo. Kach panav dahinu b'makum rosh arosh v'haf peh mesukan laziko ashchit besone Hashem yitbarach. Should know that his stick has the ability to, on the one hand, create havoc for those that try to destroy the Jewish people. That's true. But yet, at the same time, Lo yirav lo yashchid, ki zanav shel nachash einu mazik. But it's much like the snake, where the tail is not so dangerous. Moshe Rabbeinu needs the Jewish people to understand that vis-a-vis the Jewish people, he has the ability to be a softer touch. Not so with Aaron. Aaron's entire purpose is to be a mofet. So he's roda u'moshel. He's going to be one that's going to beat up on the Egyptians, and therefore it has to be more than just a snake. It becomes kitanin, a super snake. So that is how the Kli Yakar understands it. The Kli Yakar, though, does offer a beautiful explanation at the end, where he explains exactly what the second possibility is, that the tanin is really a dog. So he says, what happens when Moshe Rabbeinu goes to the Jewish people and says, here I am, I'm going to save you. What does he do? He turns the snake, the staff, into a snake. To say what? My staff, that's what? It's a dried out piece of wood. That's what the Jewish people have become. It turns into a snake. It has vibrancy again. And he shows that what? It can come back to its full life and the ability to stand up straight. So he does that. But then when he goes to Paro, it turns into a fish. Why does it turn into a fish? Turns into a fish to say a certain message to Paro. Paro, you said that the Jewish people would end up becoming all enslaved. And in their process of being enslaved, they would turn to a dried out stick with nothing. Well, what does God say? God says that the Jewish people will be like a fish where they'll be v'yidgularo v'kareva aretz. Paro says, pen your be'u. I don't want them to be great. And Yaakov Baruch Hu says, like a fish, v'yidgularov b'kareva aretz. And that's the message that Paro is supposed to hear. Paro is supposed to hear, look what you tried to do to my children. And look what will end up happening is, in the end, v'yivlama te'aron, the staff of Aaron will eat up the staffs of everything else, to say that in the end, everything will be good and the Jewish people will win. What's beautiful is that the idea is mirrored so beautifully by the Haftorah. Moshe Lichtenstein asks an amazing question. He says, why is it that the Jewish people, why is it that the Makos are divided up the way they are? 7 in this week's parasha and 3 in next week's parasha. Of course, it's Kukumatria. The first two letters, Vav Aleph, are 7, and the first two letters of next week's parasha, the only letters in next week's parasha, Bo, Bet, Aleph, are 3. Okay, so it's a nice vart, 7 and 3. But what's the purpose of the makos, the 7 and the 3? Says the first 7 makos are intended to give Paro an understanding that there's a God in the world, and that's a really big deal because Paro himself believes that he's a God, and he convinces the entire people to believe that he's the God. So that's what's supposed to happen. The first 7 makos are supposed to show Paro, listen, there's a God in the world, and you're not it. But there is always the possibility that the people will look and say, it's true, there is a God. However, Paro is a God. God is a God. They're all gods within the pantheon of gods in the world. Comes along the Torah and says, no. The last 3 makos are done in such a way that they are supposed to demonstrate in such a clear fashion that there is only one God. And there is nothing like that possibly in the world. Rav Lichtenstein says, if you look at the Haftorah is precisely that point. What God wants the Jewish people to hear, and this is Yechezkel HaNavi giving Nevuah much, 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 much later. This is already after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and it's talking to those that came back. He says the following, Ko Amar Hashem Elokim B'kabtzi Beit Yisrael Min Amim Asher Nafotzu Bam. The Jewish people are going to come back from Galus v'nikdashi bam leinei ha-goyim. They'll become sanctified in the eyes of the non-Jews. V'yashvul v'natam asher natati l'avdi le'yakov. And they're going to come back to the land of Israel. V'yashvul el ha-betach. They're going to live there comfortably and safely. U'vanuvatim v'natu kramim. They're going to build houses and they're going to plant vineyards. V'yashvul ha-betach basoti shvatim. And they're going to be at peace when I make all these miracles. U'chal shatim utam siotam v'yadu k'en yashem ukehem. What God wants is that the day will come where there'll be a Dias Hashem. Nobody will have that question anymore. And then he says, Bashana Asiri, Basiri B'Shem Asar L'Chodesh, Hayadvar Hashem Elai Lemor. So Yechezkel has Nevuah. And what does it say? Ben Adam, Sim Panech Al Paro Melech Mitzrayim. Give Nevuah. This message is to Paro, the king of Egypt, V'Alav Al Mitzrayim Kula. And it's intended to give Nevuah for Mitzrayim for him and Mitzrayim. Rabbi Arva Marta Komar Shalokim Hinini Alecha Paro Melech Mitzrayim Atanim Hagadol Harovet Betochi Orav. Paro Melech Mitzrayim, the king of Egypt, you are a Tanin Hagadol. So Rabbi Lam has a beautiful article on this where he says, what is it? It's a fake dragon. That's what it is. God turns to Yechezkel and says, let the nevuah be to Paro that he should realize that his entire essence, everything he's built up, it's a paper dragon. There's nothing there. You have created this image of how great you are, but in fact, there's nothing really there at all. Rav Lichtenstein, though, has a very different explanation. He says, say to Paro Melech Mitzrayim, Hatanim Hagadol Arovetz Betochi Orav. It's the crocodile, the big crocodile that goes Betochi Orav, inside your Yaor, the Nile. Asher Amarli Yaori Vani Asitin, that you say, it's my Yaor, it's my Nile, and I made it. So what happens? I'm going to take him out of there. Valiticha Betochi Orecha. I take him out of there. And when I do, where am I going to take him? I'm going to Tashticha Hamidbara Otcha V'kol Degati Orecha. Pnei Asadeh. I'm going to take him out of there. I'm going to put him into the desert. This is Rav Lichtenstein, an unbelievable, unbelievable, unbelievable thought. He says, only man and the crocodile have the word bara by creation. Why is it? God is saying something unbelievable. He's saying the following. He's saying the crocodile, it lives in the Yaor, but it doesn't need to be in the Yaor to live. What Paro is saying is, Paro is saying, I made the crocodile. And look what I did. I put it in there. It's my creation. Comes along God and says, no, not at all. See, the tanin, the crocodile can live anywhere I put it. You create this image of your greatness, that you've created this animal and you've put it in its natural habitat. And yes, I will tell you, I will grant you that that's its habitat, but that's not its real habitat. It could live anywhere as long as God says so. And so God says, that's my message to you. Paro, you think you're so great. You think you've created so much. But in fact, it's not at all the case. What Moshe Rabbeinu delivers with that first message is he turns that staff, he turns it into a crocodile. Or Aaron turns the staff into a crocodile. Why is it? Because that's the message to Paro. Paro, you think that you're creating so much. And you think that you're the one that controls all of this, but it's God. Does Paro hear it? Of course not. Paro hears, sees this and says, what's the big deal? The famous Medrash tells us that he turns to Moshe Rabbeinu and says, Moshe, really? That's the best you could do? You're talking about coming to a land of magic, a land of magicians, and you turn a stick into a snake? Anybody could do that. But the message is for the end. When it's all over, when Paro gets to Makas Bechoros at the end of next week's Parsha, and he's been through the entire educational process of understanding God, when he gets to that point, what God wants him to do is say, look at my journey from where I started. It started with a simple message. God said, look, it's a tanim. You think that you run everything, you think you control everything, it's nothing. Or perhaps like the Kliyakar's second answer, you think that you're able to do to my Klal Yisrael, to turn them into a dried out stick, but look what I do. I turn it into a fish to give you the message that what you tried all the way at the beginning of Shmos, your goal was pen your beh. You can't stop the destiny of the Jewish people. Paro, you tried, and you made great efforts to do that, but it just doesn't work that way. Says that Kadosh Baruch Hu, yes, Vayechazak Lev Paro V'Losham Aleihem Kasher Diber Hashem. That is in fact what happened, and it's going to take a long process, but when it all ends, and we come back to where we started, what's going to happen? At that point in time, Kadosh Baruch Hu will make it very, 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 very clear who controls the world. I think perhaps that's the message of the entire Parsha of Va'era and Bo. It's to take a look at the Makos and to be able to understand the goal to understand that there is no one like God. God is unique, 100% so. That's the message that God wants to get across to Paro. Not simple, takes a lot of effort to get that message across. But when it finally does come across, Paro will forever remember that staff. And he will see that staff not as the staff only of punishment, but as the staff that attests to the greatness of God, the great might of God, and the great kindness that God has for the Jewish people. And perhaps that's the reason why we do switch to Moshe's stick at a certain point in time, because the Moshe's stick represents far more than just din, but it represents the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the chesed that Moshe Rabbeinu has for the Jewish people.